This episode of the NetMums podcast is brought to you by Aldi Mamaia. If you're a first time or a new parent, there's a lot you don't realise you'll suddenly have very strong opinions on. Car parking bays, the price of fresh fruit, screen time, and also nappies. Because no one wants a nappy nightmare in the middle of the night or during a busy playgroup session. And let's not talk about the potential disasters that can happen on a long car journey. Oh no. In those early weeks through to the toddler phase, you need all the support you can get and products that you can trust. And that includes your child's nappies. Parents in the NetMums community really rate Aldi Mamaia's award-winning nappies. They're what we like to call the smart nappy, specially designed with dedicated P-zones for boys and girls, because babies really do wee differently. Aldi Mamaia's nappy architects discovered that girls tend to wee more in the middle of the nappy, boys more towards the front, and Mamaia nappies are designed to draw liquid across the whole core for better absorption. They've also got leak lock pockets to help contain blowouts. Need we say more? 360-degree leakage protection and a soft, flexible fit that moves with your baby. Practically leak-proof. What's not to like? And they're dermatologically tested and suitable from newborn, which is reassuring when everything touching your baby's new delicate skin suddenly feels important. Thoughtfully designed, parent approved, and made for real life. You can find Aldi Mamaia nappies in store now. Welcome to the NetMums podcast, where real parenting conversations happen. I'm your host, Louise Burke.
And I'm JB Gill. Now, we are here to talk all things parenting. And every week, we hear advice from experts and real-life stories from guests who are navigating family life in all its forms. And of course, we aim to have honest conversations about what parenting really looks like. I'll go first this week because we are on half
term. Hit me with it.
Anybody who has got young children or any child really who's experiencing half term, you know exactly what that chaos is like. I've literally just bundled my kids into the car with Chloe to go to the dentist. But the thing that gets me the most is just how much they eat. They don't stop eating. Honestly, I don't know how you feel, Louise, but they've literally eaten me out of house and home this week.
I'm constantly running up to Aldi, doing an online order, Uber Eats delivery. Yeah, I'm totally with you. And also, it's like their appetite for smoothies in my house is just like off the scale. And expensive.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm definitely shipping mine off to my mum later on in the week to hopefully get a bit of time with Chloe to get stuff done at home as well. I was also thinking, you know, we've got some very, very special guests on today. I won't spoil the surprise. I know you're going to reveal who we've got on today, Louise. But it was funny, obviously, because I've had the kids at home for half term, I've caught myself saying things that my parents, like my mum or my dad, used to say to me. And of course, a week like half term is a bit chaotic. We've been trying to do some home renovations and bits and pieces. And so the kids are kind of not left to their own devices, but you know, you're trying to manage, you know, the amount of screen time. We've talked about that on the pod already. Things like that, but also getting them involved, making sure they can help. But then there's only so much they can do because you actually want the job to be done properly. And so literally this week, I caught myself saying things like, "Pack it in," which is classic. What my dad used to say to me all the time. And, you know, things like that obviously bring back lots of memories. I remember being a child thinking to myself, you know, oh, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to say those things. And by default, you actually end up doing it. Try and sometimes stop yourself mid-sentence. But as I say, for me, it does bring back nostalgia. But considering our guest today, I went into a bit of a spiral, definitely went down a rabbit hole yesterday, just thinking about some of the things that, you know, we would have experienced. And everybody's different. You experience things as a child growing up. And, you know, there are definitely things that, of course, form you in a positive and, you know, you love and you think back on fondly. And then there are also things that you think, you know what? When I have my kids, I'm definitely not going to do that.
Or for sure.
When I have my kids, I'm going to do it slightly differently to that. And, you know, it could be anything. It could be the atmosphere at home. It could be the tone that you set. It could be what you want your kids to carry with them, the voices in their heads, you know, as they get older and go into independent and adult life. You know, because ultimately, whether we realize it or not, so much of that comes from what we experienced, whether at school or at home or anywhere else.
Yeah, it sounds like you went down a very deep bunny hole there, JB Hill. But I love it, but it is so true. And not every family starts the same way either. But we all have a lot in common as parents. And I think there's a phrase, isn't there, intentional parenting. And I think you can create intentions with the way you parent your kid. And now I sound really serious. Oh my God. But it is true. And today's guests have one of the most powerful mother and daughter stories we've heard. And they first shared part of it in the most unexpected place on national TV.
Yes, we are joined by the Traitors stars. I'm so excited because my kids would absolutely love the fact that they're on the podcast this week. Mum and daughter duo, Roxy Wilson and Judy Wilson. Now, if you didn't watch the popular TV show, then just to fill you in, Roxy was adopted by Judy at the age of 5. And after a tough time spent in foster care, Roxy recently announced that she's soon to become a mum herself. And Judy... is going to be a grand for the 12th time.
Yay!
Congratulations, Roxy. Now, they're both here to talk to us about, I mean, everything that they've gone through, everything they experienced, adoption, fostering, of course, the TV show, fame, what it's been like, and of course, becoming a parent for the first time. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome Roxy and Judy to the NetMoms podcast.
Hi, thank you so much.
Hey, Roxy and Judy. And big, big congratulations from me. How are you feeling, Roxy? Sorry, I'm going to go to Roxy first,
Fine.
Judy. Just I want to find out how she's doing.
Oh, thanks so much. Yeah, so far so good. I've actually had quite a nice easy ride, touch wood. So yeah, feeling great.
Oh, it's all gone absolutely swimmingly. So no nausea, no extreme tiredness or anything.
I think the first 4 to 6 weeks, I was like,
with the trouble,
this cannot continue. Yeah. Surely you don't have this for 9 months. I felt like I was on a boat and hung over, but that's the worst it's got. So for 2 or 3 weeks, I think I've escaped quite well.
Oh, wow.
Well
so
done.
when you found out you were pregnant, what feelings first came to mind? Where were you when you found out? I know you live with your partner, David, that's right, isn't it, in Amsterdam. But together, like, did you find out together or on your own? And what sort of feelings rose up in you when you first found out that you were pregnant?
Yes, it's quite a funny story, actually. I'd had a bit of a mad weekend with my best friend. He'd been visiting Amsterdam. And so I think I was actually a little bit hungover. But then 4 days later, I was like, this is, quite the hangover. And my boyfriend and I have been trying for a baby anyway. So I thought I'll just do a test, but really not expecting actually to be positive. He was at work and I was just, I think I had half an afternoon off. So I was in the house on my own. And then it was positive. So the actual first thing I did, I sent a picture to my other best friend in the UK and then rang my mum and I was like, like instantly, because I didn't believe it. So I sort of checked with the ladies first and they were like, yeah, it looks like it could be. Then I proceeded to do 9 more tests.
9?
Just an extra triple comfort. Yeah, I just can't believe it. So it's just like, honestly,
you know, we were talking about
so
this
many.
In the office the other day, saying how many pregnancy tests did you do when you found out you were pregnant? I did one. And I was the only one who did one. Everyone else was like, oh, I did 2, I did 3, I did 4. I was like, do people do this?
No,
but
did
you
nine.
Did 9.
Yeah, because the digital ones are Dutch. And I was like, is this the Dutch word for pregnant? I'm not,
oh,
la, la, la. So I was just like, you know, couldn't have checked more. And then I was like, okay, I think I can safely say yes, it's positive. So then I rang my boyfriend at work. I had in mind actually to wait till he came home, do it all nice, blah, blah, blah. But then I was just like, I'm pregnant. In the middle of his office day, so that's nice.
And just pure excitement, or any mixed with any nerves? Yeah, pure excitement. And
I don't think I do nerves for some reason. I mean, maybe I'll get nervous when I realise how big I am and that baby's got to come out. But I'm pretty chill.
What was Grandma Judy's reaction on the other end of the phone when you? I'm imagining a big scream.
Yes, a big scream and lots of facial expressions, which I screenshotted her. So it was a really nice reaction.
She's had plenty of practice.
Plenty.
She's used to it by now.
So this is the 12th grandchild for you, Judy, is that right? Congratulations.
It is, thank you. It's getting bigger and bigger, but you know what, it's incredible. It's like a football team. I love it. Absolutely love it.
I saw on Instagram, Roxy, that David had been preparing the crib and the nappy table. Yeah. Oh my God, you guys are prepared, right? Were you that prepared, JB, when Chloe was
To be fair, I was. But I'm a studier, so I'm the sort of person who wants to read up on things. And my mum comes from a medical profession as well. So, you know, for me, little things like understanding how to breastfeed and how to assist and stuff like that. You know, I mean, it's not normally the male role, you know, certainly not in a heterosexual relationship. But, you know, for me, it was massive. I needed to understand, needed to know. And, you know, I knew what Chloe really wanted to achieve and what she wanted to happen and how she wanted to mother. So for me, it was all about assisting as much as possible. And like you say, Louise, I think, you know, from what I've heard anyway, I think David seems to be similar. Yeah. You know, you guys are definitely a bit of a team.
Tell us, Roxy, what's David like? What else has he been doing?
Yeah, so he's so funny. He, when we got the pushchair, he wanted to take it around the lake that we live opposite just to have a
just
walk
road
with
test.
It and stuff and
I love
take
it,
it to various tried. Supermarkets. So I'm like, this man needs to slow down. But yeah, he's just so excited and he's going to be the best dad ever, I can just tell already. So I've not done much myself because I'm not the most organized. So he's
the organized one.
And yeah.
Is it particularly significant to you that you're having a baby girl?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think I had a feeling, but a feeling's a feeling. You don't actually know. But we would have been happy with any. But I think there's just something so special about a little girl and seeing David with a daughter. I don't know. Yeah, it just feels slightly different.
Yeah. Would you say that you feel ready?
No, not at all. Just going to wing it and hope for the best.
Well, I would just say to you, you know, certainly from the birth plan experience, and we, you know, Chloe had probably similar to you, a very, very good, if I can say that, pregnancy. She didn't have any nausea, you know, no. Other than obviously the physical feelings, that like she didn't really have anything, you know, that was too sort of negative. And you know, we went into that first first birth, should I say, expecting the birth to be just the same. And that's not to say I'm sure yours will be exactly as you want it to be, but we didn't really prepare for every eventuality. And so for me, I think one of the best pieces of advice that I would give to someone who's expecting is have your plan, map out what you want and stick to that, but also be prepared for the other possibilities. Oh, yeah. Because we ended up going to an emergency cesarean and it took us by surprise. You know, we definitely weren't prepared, and it was fine because Ace is actually Ace is our firstborn. Ace is actually a really good baby, but you know, it could have been completely the opposite of that. So that's my little piece of advice to the two of you.
thank you very much. It's standard for a home birth in the Netherlands.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Just the normal thing is there's a home birth.
Lovely.
So, and that's what you're going to do
so far.
Home birth. Wow.
Yes. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've upped my medical insurance to the maximum, so if I want hospital, I'll be there. But I'm just embracing the Dutch culture.
Yes.
The women do it here at home.
Well,
so
some people just speak about home births as like being purely magical, don't they?
I'll be the judge of that.
Now, Judy, you revealed the baby news on this morning on national TV.
I did.
Was that... When I read that, was that an overexcited grandma, Roxy, letting the cat out of the bag on TV a bit too soon? Because you...
No, I didn't ask her.
You got the permission.
I got the permission I said it. But she did put a post on her Instagram, so I said, am I allowed to say it? And she went, yes, mother. Yeah. So...
yeah
I won't dare.
And Judy, what kind of advice have you been giving Roxy as a new mum to be?
Don't do it. I think the thing is, Roxy's such a caring person and she's one of them outdoor people. She likes to be out and kids out in nature and things like that, which is incredible to do. But I don't know. I just think just be the person she is. She's just an amazing person. So I know she's going to be an amazing mum and I'm really proud of her. So I just can't wait because this is going to be a beautiful baby. Notice I didn't say what it was.
I was sitting like, is she gonna do it?
That little bit
no,
extra.
It's fine.
That
gender's little bit. Fine.
You're happy to share. So, Roxy, you've spoken openly about your early years. Like, obviously, we saw you on Traitors. Well, we saw the two of you on Traitors. Loved it. Absolutely loved
Brilliant.
It. Watched every minute
so
of the
good.
Series. Absolutely addicted my whole family around the TV every episode. And you've spoken very openly about your personal story of being fostered from 18 months and moving from, well, you've said pillar to post. I think they're your words. But it was probably, what, six or seven families, did you say, you were fostered by in those early years? So it's quite a lot of instability for a small child. And then until you got adopted by Judy when you were five. Some reports say five, some reports say six.
Yeah, it's a mixing between me and my mum. I always said six, but I think it's about five.
Yeah. When now with yourself pregnant and, you know, looking ahead with a future with your own child, your own daughter, what, when you look back now at your experience, what sort of feelings come up?
I think it's strange because the older you get and when you have your own child, all you want for that child is stability, is love, is the best possible chance in life. Mm. So then when you look back at your own childhood, it actually sinks in a little bit more how crazy it was, if that makes sense. When I do reflect, I mean, it's definitely kind of shown me what I don't want my child to go through. Mm. But it does make me sit and think, actually, my childhood was a lot more tricky, maybe not even given credit to for myself.
Mm-hmm. So you're sort of very mindful about providing security to your daughter. And are there any sort of, like, we talked about this in our intro, sort of parenting with intention. And obviously you've had the experience you've had. And what sort of intentions do you lay out in your parenting journey ahead? I don't know whether you've had a chance to think about it yet, because obviously you've not actually given birth yet. But are there things, bearing in mind your experience, that you're intending to create in or the childhood that you want to give your child? Have you got any thoughts around that yet?
Yeah, it's a really good question, actually, because David and I have been discussing this quite a lot, because we think the intention also has to come from both the parents and sort of be an agreement and a collective way of how you're going to parent. So our main things are just safety, love, and showing affection. And what I experienced a bit of, I don't know how you say it, over-discipline, let's say, in some of the foster carers. Mm. So also striking a balance of discipline and making sure they're on the right track, but not being sort of, you know, too forceful in that manner. So we've discussed this all the time, because there's nothing perfect, but we do have particular sort of ways that we want to approach things, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's really important to have boundaries, because, you know, like you say, over-discipline doesn't always work, especially, you know, if you've got very strong-willed children, which ultimately we want. We want children who are going to be strong, who want to lead, who want to take a, you know what I mean, who want to I guess, go on to become the pillars of our society. But at the same time, that, you know, it's not always beneficial to be over disciplinarian, should I say. You know, boundaries are much more important, you know. And I think, you know, that certainly from what I hear, what I read, you know, Judy, you definitely had that within the household. You would have needed to with 12 grandchildren, well, however many children, and now 12 grandchildren. But you also spoken about having to make, you know, the heartbreaking decision to adopt one sister and not the other, which I mean, how you managed to do that, I don't know. It's such an enormous emotional weight on you. How did you navigate that as a mum?
I think it's quite hard. I mean, obviously I had three boys, and then obviously Roxy came into our lives, but Roxy was with her sister from the early years, and then they had to separate. A sister, siblings had to be separated. So when I went along, obviously, and I saw Roxy, and I knew that she had a sister, but for me, I had to think of my boys, because obviously it's a big thing, another child coming to your home, because you know, that could disrupt all your family life.
Of course.
So it was hard, And yes, yeah. I did choose Roxy. But it's hard. And then when you're in that moment, you've got to do the right decision for you and your family. So that's what I did. Mm. I picked Roxy.
Yeah, so, I can imagine it must be a big balancing act ultimately, because there's so many different factors to take in. Of course, you're doing, on the one hand, you're doing an amazing thing for an individual who, you know, who really needs it, and then at the same time you've got responsibility to what you already have.
Roxy's described you as being an amazing woman on TV, and I totally can believe that. But how does it make you feel when you hear Roxy talk about you, both when on during Traitors and, you know, in the press after Traitors? She spoke so positively about you and the things, the opportunity that you gave her and her life. How does that make you feel?
Wow, it's quite moving, actually. I mean, I don't know if you saw the bit when we did the after show, and obviously that I'd first time I'd seen that, what Roxy had said. And I had a tear, and I'm not a crier. I'm not a crier. I had a tear because I just, you know, because I'm just mum. I'm just, you know, me just bringing up a family like everybody else.
You're an amazing woman, mum. That's who you are.
I don't.
And now well, amazing gran.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I'm just me. And the end of day is I'm the person who just wants to make sure, you know, all my family are happy and loved and cared for. And that's all that I did. But when I saw it, yes, it did bring a tear to my eye. And I'm so proud. I mean, it's quite touching that she speaks about me in that way, because I'm just mum, you know.
Well, not to Roxy. How did, now you're going to be a mum, Roxy, does it, has it changed how you view your mum?
Yeah, I think that's the one of the more sort of poignant things, actually, in all of this. You know, you love your mum and all these things. When you're having your own child, you just start to think about what your mum's done for you, the sacrifices mums make. It all starts to, I don't know, just hit a little different, I guess. And it deepens that appreciation for mum and also other mums, my friends who had children, you know, younger or years ago. I just now kind of see, wow, mums are even more special than I ever thought before. And I already thought they were super special. So,
yeah.
Just a reminder, this episode of the Net Mums podcast is brought to you by Aldi Mamiya. As well as their award-winning nappies, we give their Mamiya wipes a hard recommend at Net Mums. They are a parenting essential. They're plastic-free, gentle enough to use from birth, and kind on sensitive newborn skin. Perfect for nappy changes and all the other unexpected messes no one warns you about. Head to your nearest Aldi store to explore the full Mamiya range.
Well, Roxy, you also said on the round table that, you know, you were once made to feel like you wouldn't amount to anything. And then, of course, your lived experience once you found Judy was very, very different to that, because you have amounted to lots of things and you're doing an amazing job. And now, of course, you're going to go on to become a mother. So what was it that Judy did differently that changed that belief in yourself?
I think she just gave me the self-confidence, and she never treated me like I was any different to any other child out there. And I think that's the huge difference. So when you have an unusual childhood or just not within whatever the normal is, people give you a label, they think you're going to be this or that. But mum was just like, you're just like anyone else. You don't need extra support at university because you've been adopted. You don't need an extra laptop, you know, like these small things. And it's great that there's all this support, but actually that can work against you in a sense. Like, you just need to be treated as a normal individual with a regular childhood, and that just gives you the confidence to realize, yes, I am normal. I don't need to become the label that's attached to me. I can just be free.
Yeah. And do you find yourself thinking now about yourself as a child and I guess what you needed most then, and I guess applying it now, you know, forward effectively for when your own children get to that stage?
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the main things that I needed, and I guess all children need, but it could be also an individual thing, was just love and hugs and a bit of reaffirmation of who I am. And again, that freedom to be individual and not put in a box. So I think they're all things that I will 100% apply to my child, even when she's 30, I'll still be applying her with hugs and kisses and be overbearing, but I think that's the way I'll be.
No, I'm with you. I say exactly the same thing. I drop the kids off at school
and
I'm like, you are never not getting a kiss out of this car, ever.
my 13-year-old now just puts her crown of her head down for me to kiss.
Yeah, I can imagine it.
And I go, you've got to realise, sweetheart, I'm going to be kissing you until you're 30 years old, babe.
Yeah. So
these kisses aren't going to stop. I think it's really impressive that both of you actually, post-traitors, have been using your profile to raise awareness around fostering and adoption, the system in this country, because it does need huge improvement. And we saw it in the news the other week about the decline in the last decade. I think it's 12% decline in the number of foster carers in the UK. And we know how important foster care homes are for a lot of children. Why does it feel, obviously there is the decline there, we know the system's broken, but why do you feel so strongly to be involved in raising this awareness? I'm going to ask Judy.
Well, I mean, there's so many children out there that at disadvantage, they just need a home, just to, you know, start them off on the path of life, basically. Because we've not got many foster carers, it's just so hard, and these kids are just, you know, getting lost in the system, and it's just sad. So we just need to all sort of like come together and try and get some more foster carers to, you know, help the kids along. But it's hard because people always think that foster care, being a foster carer, is hard, and, you know, they don't think the criteria of it. But, you know, we keep saying is come to us. We'll sort of make sure that we'll put you through what you need, the support and everything like that. And the end of the day is you are offering a child a home and, you know, helping that child grow. Because when these children come, they come with a story. And this story is it slowly, as they come in your home, it slowly unwinds and things sort of come out. And you're just nurturing them. You're just helping them. You're just going to be there all the time and give them plenty of reassurance that at the end of the day is you're not going nowhere. You're there to support them. It's quite daunting for young children to come in and, you know, that they don't know anybody. They're in a new home, new environment, and they're scared, you know. But also they still miss and love their family. So it's quite, you know, children don't ask to be born, you know, but we just need to be there to support them. And this is what me and Roxy are trying to promote. We just need some more foster carers just to come forward.
I can understand how some people might feel nervous about doing it, though, because like you say, these children come with stories, sadly, and, you know, those stories can unravel. If someone's thinking about it, what would be your advice to sort of encourage them to try it out?
Oh, I would just say get some information, you know, make contact to your local authority, get some information, and then somebody will come out and talk to you about fostering. And, you know, and if it's for you, it's fine. But if it's not, that's fine also. So it's just taking that step. And a lot of people don't take that step. But trust me, if you take that step, it changes your life as well, because you're just giving. And that's the best, you know, to see a kid smile on their faces is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I've always thought about, because, you know, prior to even having children, Chloe and I talked about, you know, how would fostering look? And like you say, it's one of those things that you're very daunted, because you know the impact, probably similar to you, Judy, when you first started out, you know, the impact that it potentially could have on your family. And I guess there's lots of stereotypes around, I don't know, I suppose the perceived negativity, because it's not negative, but potentially there might, you know, especially if you've got a child who's gone through a very, very difficult upbringing, and also having the tools to be able to deal with that. It's not so much the fact that the child is like that, but also, you know, it's very difficult sometimes. And certainly, you know, if you've never had that experience personally as a parent or, you know, as an adult, you know, to be able to handle some of those sort of soft, you know, those things softly that need to be dealt with and need to be handled in order to allow a child who's perhaps experienced that to flourish. So what would you say makes, I suppose, what are the good qualities of a foster carer? Is it about being, you know, brilliant and, you know, perfect or whatever? Or, you know, is there something else?
No, it's not about being brilliant or perfect. At the end of the day, it's just about you being there for that child and you know, open your heart up to that child and helping that child develop. So, no, you don't have to have a big house. You don't have to have plenty of money. It's not about that. It's about the love that you can give that child. So, you know, that's why I always say, just take that step.
I'm interested, following on from that, actually, asking you, Roxy, like, having been, you know, experienced the foster care homes and then your mum's home, what could you, is there something, just like a little nugget or a little memory that you had when you arrived at your mum's home, or in the first sort of year in your mum's home, where you were like, yeah, this feels like home now?
Yeah, and I speak about this quite a lot because it's the thing, if you will, because when I went to mum's, I wasn't supposed to be staying from that point, but the foster carer just essentially didn't want me back because I had a cold.
So I heard,
they were just like, leave her there. So I just, that was mad. Yeah, really, what?
Yeah,
weird.
Oh my days.
Yeah. So, and I think because I wasn't supposed to be staying, that was just like, whoa, a surprise. But that night, I mean, it was a bit, I can imagine mum was up in arms. I was just like, la, 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 I'm here now to stay. I didn't really process it. But I think
move up on the sofa.
Mum was a bit like, where's my place? Yeah, I was just like, typical me, very chill. But mum, obviously, she was sorting out the dynamics of the bedroom. So my three brothers had their rooms, but they moved into one bedroom so that I could have nice space as a girl. So she's doing all those things. And then that evening, she'd sat down with me and said, look, in this family, we say, love you. Every night before we go to bed, this is why, this is what it means, etc. And I never had heard someone say love you to me before, because a lot of the foster carers used to say, save your kisses and your cuddles and your love for your forever family. So hearing that and then thinking, oh, this is like what a family does and how they behave and how they feel for each other. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm good here. This is the one.
Oh, and I guess in like quite an unconditional way as well, rather than like that patter of words that you said in the foster families. Like,
rather than sort of maybe a transactional feel to love or just a hug because it's needed. It was more just it's the done thing, and it's because it's something you can't put into words. It's just what we do because we feel a certain way.
Yeah. Yeah. You can tell that the two of you, like, you could tell on Traitors the strong bond between the two of you, a real sort of strong mother-daughter bond. But I want to know, like, even now as you're an adult and now having a baby of your own, do you still lean on your mum a lot in life? Do you go for her for all the advice? Have you been on the phone or WhatsApping, like, bits about the pregnancy? Do you still have that, like, sort of, I was going to say friendship, relationship, but it is like a friendship.
Yeah, that won't go anywhere. I mean, we speak every day. I must video, yesterday, I think I video timed her, or WhatsApp video, whatever, like 5 times. And I was like, I bet you're sick of hearing from me. So I might live in the Netherlands, but I might as well live in a house still. Like, it's ongoing. Tell her all the lowdown of me and my friends. Yeah, she knows a bit too much probably at times, to be fair.
I was going to say, what's a cheeky question? What's the last WhatsApp message you sent your mum?
Oh, good one. It was just before this call saying, let's have a great call. Love you.
Oh,
yeah, she did.
Oh, so you still pass those love yous even now, like, not just for bedtime.
Yeah.
But
on the messages before, the technical stuff, I'll not tell you that because we were getting stressed with each other. But
exactly.
It ended well. Yeah.
Expletives in the WhatsApp messages then.
Exactly. Two messages up.
Ended nicely.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of Traitors, do you guys think that your time on the show strengthened your bond? I mean, it sounds like you already said, you know, you got a very, very strong bond. But do you think that time strengthened it in any way?
I think for me is getting on the Traitors and doing it with Roxy was, well, mind-blowing. But the thing is, when we were there, you know, we had a great plan that we were going to go in and say, you know, you come from here and I come from there. And as soon as I saw her, she went, I'm from Donny. And I thought, oh, I thought we rehearsed that you were somewhere else, from somewhere else. So she just
you were
it
from
out.
Somewhere else. You were from Nottingham. You so were from to, somewhere else.
So I had to backtrack a bit. And then first day she called me mum. And some and this guy said, one of the lads obviously we just met, said, she just called your mum. I went, yeah. And Jessie's just called my mum as well. I'm thinking, oh, I need to stay away
oh,
from her.
Oh, God.
And then later on, later on in the boat, mum, mum. But nobody heard that.
Oh,
thank
gosh.
Goodness.
Oh, God.
It's no secret that I'm not strategic. Yeah. But, no, you know, I think it's pretty clear that I wasn't the best at the actual game, but I had a great time.
Look, you did a good innings in that game.
Did.
How did it feel? Because poor Judy, I know you were out and murdered like pretty quickly.
Scared of me. It was scared of me, I think.
Yeah. But how did you feel watching the rest of the show with Roxy? Were you super proud?
Oh, God. Yeah. Unbelievable. Because, I mean, she did really, really well. She just got the two last ones wrong, but she did really well. I'm shouting at the screen saying, Roxy, open your eyes. But the challenges, I'm so proud because she's so good at challenges. I mean, if I'd have stayed and do that last one, I'd have never done it. But Roxy would have loved it. But it's lovely to see her grow and be herself. And when I left, I said, you know, to myself, it's her time to shine. And she did. So, it was lovely. I'm so proud.
A double whammy now, because now she's having a baby, another grandchild for you.
She
so
was
double proud.
She was trying for quite a while, and I think when she actually relaxed and you know took time to herself, which she never does, then obviously she's going to become a mum.
Yeah.
And have you been like buying all the baby grows and M&S and all the rest of it? And
the hardest bit is for me is. It's trying to ship it all to Netherlands. It's a nightmare. Trust me, it's a nightmare. I send her things and she never gets them. Never, ever gets them.
You just have to move in. You'd have to move in a couple of months' time.
Oh, I'd love to move in, but she'd say no.
Don't say it, JB. Don't say it.
I was going to say.
It's not an Airbnb.
How do you feel about having a bit of mother's help?
See,
they love each other so much, these two.
But
she's very strong-minded,
a couple of
Roxy.
Days is enough.
I get it.
Brilliant.
I have to say, when I had my first, my mum and dad came and stayed with us for a week. And I think my husband at the time was a bit like, ooh, this is a bit, you know, close for comfort.
I get that.
But it allowed us just to focus on the baby.
Yeah.
And they would like do the food shopping or do the washing and they were the sort of, you know, the help around the house. And it just allowed us for the first week just to focus on the baby and that sort of first magical moment when you're at home, which always feels a bit like a parallel universe. So actually, Roxy, I wouldn't say no just yet.
She doesn't need me because she's
Louise. I'll let you into a little secret. Yeah, because in the Netherlands you get it's called I won't say the Dutch word actually. It's a lady that comes after the birth for 10 days, up to 8 hours a day. And they will do
nice.
The shopping, the washing, everything so that you bond with baby. So, I mean, I'm sure my mum would do a better job.
We need to move.
But
we need to change the system here. Our systems are just not made for parents, are they?
That is so valuable,
honestly. That's amazing. Yeah. That is exactly what I'm talking about. That first bit. Your home, and you feel like you've moved into a parallel universe because you've created this small human and you can't quite get your head around it. But it's the most amazing, amazing moment. For you just to sort of recuperate after the birth as well and know that there's that support there. It does make me a bit cross about this country.
We got it wrong, haven't we? We got it wrong.
No, we'll say no more, hey. But I'm happy to be in Amsterdam.
So, I was going to say, so no plans to move back home to Doncaster then?
Oh, no.
No.
and a slightly more serious conversation before we close the chat. I just want, just out of curiosity, and it is a bit of a personal one, so feel free to ignore it if you prefer. But having been through your journey with foster care, adoption, and obviously now you're having your own baby, but would you ever be open to adopting or foster caring yourself, Roxy?
It's a good question, and it's a question I get asked a lot, actually, which, yeah, I don't find it surprising, because I think people always just maybe think you would. And my honest answer is I don't know, because for me, my priority, given my sort of background, was always to have my own child and the biological birth and all the experience. Of course, that's happening now. So perhaps the next steps, because I'm aware that kids need help, support. I think, given my experiences, I could offer them a lot. But I am, like most other people might be, around adoption. It's really daunting, and you don't know the challenges that the child might come with. You don't know how that might impact your family dynamic. So I'm on the fence right now, but never say never. Yeah. That's what I kind of say.
Well, you're right at the beginning of your sort of motherhood journey, I guess, aren't you? So you've got to see where it all takes you.
Yeah, and I think you have to establish your family as well, especially because you've started it now. And then it gives you the freedom to open that up eventually at whatever point.
This is it. Best of both worlds, potentially.
Yeah, I think you're going to be an amazing mum.
Yes, indeed. I
can feel so nice. Thank you so much.
You've had all the experiences. So to finish with, we're just going to end with our parenting question of the week from a small person.
If money comes from the bank, why don't we just get more?
If money comes from the bank, why don't we just get more?
So obvious, right?
Great question.
Great question.
Do you worry about like sort of cost of living and things like that, Roxy? It's now you're sort of on your mother journey, and like, because kids are bloody expensive, right?
Yeah. Do you know what it is? I think I'm worried that my priorities are shifting from new bags and shoes to nappies.
That's true.
It's what it is, but I'm like, oh, damn. It is quite tough economically, and I think everyone has sort of challenges sometimes financially, but we have a baby fund, and we've been really, really good in just making sure that there's some foundations there, and maybe a little bit for me so I can still get my shoes and bags.
the truth is, like, your handbag becomes the nappy bag, basically.
I mean, see, another thing
I've got to say, some of the nappy bags on the market now compared to when I had my first baby, like, they were quite sort of practical bags when I had mine, and now they're these beautiful, like, sort of designer-esque leather, sort of like a designer handbag, but, you know, shove a bottle in and a nappy and some wet wipes in.
I'll take the nappy bag out on my first night out after baby's born, I'm sure.
Yeah. Listen, last piece of advice from me as well, Roxy. Just remember that you and David are a team. It began with you. And no matter how tense those first few days get, you're on the same side.
I'll do my very best to keep that in mind.
I have to say, though, like, I remember when we first had our kid, and this isn't advice, but it's just something to bear in mind. My husband, literally afterwards, he was just like, oh my God, you women are amazing. Like, you've literally created a child. Like, what do us men? He was like, what do us men do? Like, you women, like, create humans and then give birth to them and then keep them alive, right? If you choose to breastfeed, you know, you're actually just like being so self-sufficient. But I think, I don't know, JB, but like, yeah, my husband was a bit like, wow. Like, observing that, he was just like, that is incredible. So I always say, us women are queens, right?
Oh, we are definitely queens.
And we should be treated like a queen.
Yeah. 100%. Well, as I say, I already had a head start with that because my mum was a nurse, so I already knew she was a queen and we were the queen. So for me, it was just enhancing the queendom.
Yeah. And before the baby arrives, enjoy everything. Enjoy those nights on the sofa, those dinner peace where you can actually finish a hot meal and a hot cup of tea. Enjoy all of it.
That's good advice.
I am making the most of it because I know it's all going to be upside down and inside out very soon. So
enjoy it. Amazing.
Yeah,
congratulations
to both of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I've enjoyed this. It's been amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Roxy, Judy, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today and all the gossip about new babies and things like that. I love it. It's been emotional, inspiring, and such an important conversation.
Yes, it really has. And if any of you have missed the Traitors, which I know is criminal, but we'll forgive you. You can catch Roxy and Julie on The Traitors UK on BBC iPlayer, and you'll also see them continuing their work, raising valuable awareness around fostering and adoption.
Yeah, and you can obviously track Rox's bump growing on Instagram as well. So exciting. You can read more expert advice at netmoms.com and across our socials. And if you're finding the Netmoms podcast useful and supportive, please hit follow, leave a review and join our community, because real parenting conversations happen right here. Isn't that right, JB?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, and drop us an email as well to share your parenting questions, stories and dilemmas. We would love to hear from you.
Yeah, so until next time, thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks a lot. See you next week.
See ya.
Bye.